This message comes from NPR sponsor, the Capital One Venture X Card. Earn unlimited 2X miles on everything you buy. Plus, get access to a $300 annual credit for bookings through Capital One Travel. What's in your wallet? Terms apply. Details at CapitalOne.com.
Hey, everybody. Happy Friday from NPR Music. I'm Robin Hilton. I'm here with NPR Music editor Hazel Sills. Hey, Hazel.
Hey.
Contributor Letitia Harris.
Hi.
And NPR Music editor Sheldon Pierce.
What's good?
Well, it's New Music Friday. That's good. And we're doing a quick rundown of the best albums out now on June 9th. It's a super packed week. Janelle Monáe, King Krewel, Jenny Lewis, a whole bunch more all have new releases out today. But we're going to start with Amaray. She's back with the album Fountain Baby. This is the song Counterfeit.
We know Amaray best as someone who is expanding the reach of Alté, the alternative Afrobeat culture and sound coming out of Nigeria. This album is solidly pop, and I think that track Counterfeit really proves it. You know, it's very early, grimy 2000s club braggadocio pop that also pulls from her globality, you know. And Amaray mentioned that she wanted to replicate the work being done by pop artists at their peak in the early 2000s, where producers are, you know, taking sounds outside of the American pop canon at the time, at least, and bring him into the fold. So there's, you know, production reminiscent of the work done by Britney during Blackout, Janet Jackson in the Velvet Robe, Gwen Stefani, Love Angel, Music Baby. I think it's a really great album for tastemakers by a genius tastemaker, and I'm really glad to see how her production has expanded. Touch me when you need to.
Amaray has felt like the future for a while now, and it feels like the future is here, like she is realizing her sound. The stuff that interests me the most is like the stuff that is still changing the shape and texture of Afropop. The orchestral flourishes on like Angels in Tibet, co-star is on piano, like as bubblegum pop. But to Letitia's point, she doesn't stop there. I mean, we heard Counterfeit. The womp womp flip on that is among the most imaginative I've heard. And she is just completely reimagining all of these styles across the pop landscape.
Yeah, I just wanted to say that, like, even though we're talking about her as, like, this incredible pop star who's on the brink of global domination or should be, I do feel like there were a lot of moments on this album where I really just felt her personality and, like, her sense of self in a way that felt, I don't want to say relatable, but, like, you know, accessible to me. Like, you know, even something like throwing in a punk song, like Sex, Violence, Suicide, Part 2. I don't know, I just want to get drinks with Amaray, like listening to a lot of this album. So
you two could be best friends if she would just give you a chance.
Take me to the club, Amaray. This is my plea. But yeah, so, and I mean, to Letitia's point, I think that is real auteurism, is like being able to fit yourself into all these sounds, work within all these sounds, but really establish a clear sense of self and voice.
Hazel, I think that idea of you like relating to Amaray in this album is just the fact that you're a cool girl, she's a cool girl, this album is for
No,
cool
keep
girls.
This in, Robin.
I wonder what you all made of the closing cut, Come Home to God. It's just so epic and completely unexpected and an incredible way to wrap this record up.
Yeah, it feels like just a big culmination of a statement record, a record that is so clear in its purpose and its vision, as Hazel has said, in its personality. And then you get the big defining capstone moment where she's like, I am here to stay.
I also love Amore's willingness to kind of like explore her relationship with spirituality and God on this type of record. It's such a like club rat record, but she's able to, like Hazel said, like highlight all the different parts of her personality and highlight all the different, you know, aspects that culminate into this awesomeness that we're hearing. And like, she's not afraid to shy away from that like relationship she has with God. So I love that cap track.
All right, again, the record out today we all clearly love from Amore is called Fountain Baby. There are so many big releases we want to get to this week, but I want to completely shift gears here and go next to the new King Krule record. It's called Space Heavy. This is the song Hamburger Phobia.
Yeah, Archie Marshall is the boy wonder all grown up. The English musician released his first songs as Zoo Kid as a teenager, and he appeared kind of fully formed as King Krule. Now he's a long-running veteran. He's got a kid of his own. His new album, Space Heavy, was recorded between 2020 and 2022 on commutes between London and Liverpool, where he moved to be with his partner. And the album became fascinated with the space in between, hence the title, and losing connection with those close to you. It is a woozy and wonky record that is typical of a King Krule record, but there is a sweetness to it that I think separates it from the rest of his catalog. In an interview, he mentioned that there's a lot of the album was written in C major, and I think that's sort of telling of his headspace. Not only is the album less gloomy, but it's less zigzaggy. Like early King Krule records, especially The Ooze, had this sort of inscrutable do-all-things approach that I think seeps away on this record. But in typical King Krule fashion, some of it is just like wonderfully weird. The quiet, like squelching guitars on That Is My Life, That Is Yours erupts into like acid jazz, like right in the middle.
Yeah, all the words Sheldon just used to describe this album, squelchy, wonky, woozy, like so many qualities that I love in music. And there's something about the songs that feel like hard to, I was going to say hold in your hand, but like hard to get a handle on in a way that I really love. And
yeah,
I never got into him. Crazy. But this album is beautiful.
I would think it's your jam, Hazel. It's Demented Nightclub. Yeah, you know, it's Lynchian.
That's so true, Robin.
It's Tom Waits and Nick
Cave. Smoking
Cave
a cigarette in the corner next to a fog machine,
man.
Or something. Yeah.
Yeah. But you take a song like Pink Shell.
Yeah,
You know, it just is so surreal, and it has that whole late night vibe that you're talking about and that I love, you know. But also, it's interesting. It's got this touch of new wave to it almost, you know.
Yeah. Very liminal record, very out of time, which is reminiscent of, like, being on a long train ride and dozing off and coming to, and like, where am I? Like, what is anything? And sort of trying to get your bearings again. It has all of that energy.
King Creole, his new album out today is called Space Heavy. There's also a new album out now from Jenny Lewis. She's back with a new solo record called Joy Y'all. This is the title cut. You.
A good chunk of these songs were born from a virtual songwriting workshop hosted by Beck that she had joined in the pandemic. And they all have this really kind of laid-back, easygoing vibe. I feel like more laid-back than I would normally expect from Jenny Lewis. And our critic Marissa LaRusso wrote a really wonderful review of this album for NPR.org, where she kind of talks about this idea of Jenny Lewis as this kind of like den mother to a generation of women and artists, that she's sort of this kind of cool older sister type. And there are a lot of moments on this album where she kind of leans into the sort of role of the Zen sage, even something like on her song Chain of Tears. If it's ain't right, it's wrong. Don't paint those red flags white. Don't matter how long. If it ain't right. I was surprised that so much of this record was created using this sort of oblique strategy method of creation, you know, like where they're given guidelines to write a song today about, you know, use only cliches. Because when I listened, I thought that it would be very easy to think that this was a breakup record. There are so many broken relationships across this record. But it feels like after reading and learning more about it, like maybe it was more just a creative exercise.
And I love that idea of the creative exercise, because it's like, for someone like Jenny Lewis, who's been around for a very long time and writing songs for a very long time, the idea that she can tackle a project like this and make it sound so jubilant and like buoyancy and like fresh at this point in her career, just based on like a creative writing workshop, is so impressive to me. It's such a like achievement.
And another thing about this album that's interesting is that so Lewis moved to Nashville from Los Angeles, where she had lived for most of her life. And she recorded this at RCA Studio A in Nashville with the producer Dave Cobb. And you can really hear that warm sort of retro studio sound.
Yeah, I was just going to say, it does feel more emblematic of the move to Nashville than of the songwriting workshop. To Hazel's point, there is like a muted grandeur to all of the retroness of it. I love where it lands sonically, somewhere between like the singer-songwriter stuff, but also alt country, but also classic soul. But I will say, it's the writing on this record that powers it. There's a frankness that comes even at her own expense sometimes.
Yeah, even a song like Puppy and a Truck, you know, that lyric where she's sort of singing like, I ain't got no kids, I ain't got no roots. It's like this call of defiance. And, you know, Jenny Lewis has made so much music about aging and dating at a certain age and, you know, not having kids, not being married, and just the way that she sort of writes about her life and what people expect from her and the ways in which she finds joy, the way that she writes about it from all these different angles, I feel like is so inspiring.
So I'm 44 in 2020, and thank God I saved up some money. Time to ruminate that. What the fuck was that? Like a shot of good luck, I got a puppy in a truck. If you feel like giving up, shut up, get a puppy in a truck.
Yeah, she says at the top of that song, Puppy in a Truck, my 40s are kicking my ass. You know, but she also seems to recognize, I don't know, the joy of perspective that you are afforded as you get older, you know, and how she's able to look back on, for example, her teen years, and the things that maybe dismantled her then are things that she just didn't understand, and now she recognizes that joy and sorrow, for example, can coexist with each other.
I love records about the pursuit of joy that come at it from an authentic place. Like, joy is not always this, like, happy-go-lucky thing. And it's not this thing at the end of the rainbow where you attain it and it's like a power-up and you never feel sadness again. It comes in waves. And you have to actively seek it out sometimes, right? And it's like, it can be the simple pleasure of a puppy in a truck when your 40s are kicking your ass.
Puppy in a truck.
Okay, the record from Ginny Lewis is called Joy, Y'all. That's out now on June 9th, along with several other releases that we want to highlight for you. But first, we need to take a short break.
This message comes from NPR sponsor, Teladoc Health. There are lots of reasons for wanting to be healthy. Family, work, living a fuller life. Teladoc Health understands. Whether you have diabetes, high blood pressure, or just need to manage your weight, Teladoc Health can help. Visit teladochealth.com/whatsyourwhy for more information. That's TELADOC health/whatsyourwhy. This message comes from Capital One, offering commercial solutions you can bank on. Now more than ever, your business faces unique challenges and opportunities. That's why Capital One offers a comprehensive suite of financial services, all tailored to your short and long-term goals. Backed by the strength and stability of a top 10 commercial bank, their dedicated experts work with you to build lasting success. Explore the possibilities at CapitalOne.com/commercial, a member FDIC. This message comes from NPR sponsor Progressive, and it's Name Your Price tool. Say how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show coverage options within your budget. Visit Progressive.com, Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's New Music Friday from NPR. I'm Robin Hilton. I'm here with Hazel Sills, Letitia Harris, and Sheldon Pierce. We're sharing our picks for the best new albums out now on June 9th, including a long-anticipated new one from Janelle Monáe. She's back now with her first new album in 5 years. It's called The Age of Pleasure. This is the song Champagne Shit.
I like all my kisses French when I'm on my champagne shit. Everybody turn around taking them pics because I'm on my champagne shit. And I'm throwing them tips on my champagne shit, and she throwing them hips, 'cause I'm on my champagne shit. Now shake it all up, move your little hips, back your ass up, and do that little skip, skip, skip. It's all in her hips, it's all in them hips. She got them dimples in her back, and I'm on my champagne shit. I'll be a lot of red tonight. I'll be a lot. These niggas about to make a whole lot of money. Don't ask me shit about work, 'cause I'm on my champagne shit. I'm talking high heels and no shirt, 'cause I'm on my champagne shit. I used to pray about taking vacations, remember them bills we split. Now I'm here with Bueno and we busting bottles like we won a championship.
Yeah, Janelle Monáe has come to be known as an Afrofuturist warping the dimensions of progressive soul, but The Age of Pleasure is her first album that seems distinctly present. It's clear from the title, this record's sole ambition is the dance floor. As a place of freedom and expression, but also as a place to find someone to hook up with. It operates in service of those universal truths and delivers something that is like really, really fun front to back. It really feels like the Janelle Monáe party.
Right. You know, Janelle Monáe has established themselves as a sonic perfectionist, someone who really goes in on the idea of building out albums and building out worlds. And to me, this album felt not unpolished necessarily, but much more like laid back in terms of its like creation. And it feels less...
It's looser.
It's looser. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's looser than her previous work. It's more carefree, but not in a way that it's to a detriment, you know? And yeah. To the other side of that, her work's always been very interested in the pleasure politic. And to me, as you said, Sheldon, this one feels most rooted in the present, rooted in reality. And I also feel like it's her most sensual, you know, in the sex that we saw in Dirty Computer of Pink and Make Me Feel. Those are very exploratory and curious depictions of pleasure. And like on this album, it's very clear that she spent a lot of time rooted in the lifestyle of pursuing pleasure and like is much more comfortable with it.
Dancing in the dark, how you feel? Phenomenal, a true work of art. She's ready. Phenomenal. And they all bow to you. How you feel? Phenomenal. Ready for round two. Bitch, I feel so phenomenal. Say it to my face. How you feel?
Phenomenal.
Yeah, I think Dirty Computer was this almost, I want to say, like, think PC album. It had these big ideas bound up in it about Afrofuturism and sexuality and queerness. And this sort of de-cyborgizes her. I don't think that's a word, but I'm going to make a word right now because I know you know what I mean. And she feels human. She feels like a human being. And Letitia, as you said, she's expressing pleasure very much rooted in her own experiences. And I just think that's kind of fascinating because I do sort of think of Janelle Monáe as existing on this other plane and really enjoying existing on this other plane. And then, you know, to get an album where, you know, she's has songs like Lipstick Lover.
I really got a thing for my lipstick lover, 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 lover. I'll do anything for my lipstick lover, 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 lover. I like lipstick on my neck. Leave a sticky icky in a place I won't forget. I like lipstick on my neck. Baby, I'm obsessed. Give me undressed.
She's saying things like, leave a sticky icky in a place I won't forget. I was like, okay, okay. We are not on Mars or where I would like originally associate Janelle.
Yeah, this the aura is very much God coming down to play with the mortals.
More like make out with
such
the mortals.
Like this loft. Make out. Literally. Yeah, well, they did in the Greek mythology, they did a lot of that. So that is also accurate to canon. But she has operated at such a lofty place in such a high concept area that for her to do something like this sensuous feels like it's at odds with that. But I do think it's so interesting that, to Hazel's point, it does feel more personal. And I mean, through the party, you can sort of discover yourself, like, in that freedom.
One thing that really struck me while I was listening to this is how, you know, historically, so much music has raged against troubled times, right? You know, the anger and outrage and depression and, you know, exhaustion of the times is either mirrored in the music that we hear and that artists are making, or the music rages against it in some way. And now it seems like so many artists, like Janelle Monáe and the music they make, are taking the exact opposite approach. It's like they're fighting with love in a way, right? You know, they're answering or reacting to troubled times with just this boundless optimism and joy and celebration of the self and unconditional love. It's just such a curious take for music to me.
I think there's also a sort of pent-up energy at the source of it, too. There was a lot of talk of it in the wake of Beyoncé's Renaissance, too, and sort of like Drake's Honestly Nevermind and the house moment of last summer. In the wake of the pandemic, people were eager to get out and go into public spaces and cram up against each other and dance.
Ew.
Hey, man, Robin, that's what it is, man. I'm sorry, that may not put the NPR disclaimer on there.
There'll be no cramming up against one another.
But no, yeah, and I was just going to say, I mean, this record still has some of that on it.
And to your point, Robin, what I liked what you said about the idea of like fighting things with love and optimism. I think This is Janelle Monáe's most explicitly queer album, outside of even like the lyricisms of it, but the way that she's approached just the thematic concept of pleasure. Because if you think about it, you know, this is someone who grew up in very religious Bible Belt Kansas as a queer individual kind of coming into their own. And with more and more liberation, I feel like, in their adult life, I think regarding the music they were making with the whole Afrofuturism, Cindy Mayweather being kind of a defensive alter ego to like kind of work through these different things that maybe Janelle Monáe wasn't able to express or feel in her childhood. What we're seeing now is like this idea that the alter ego of the robot version of Janelle Monáe doesn't need to exist anymore because she's really fully able to be this person she's always wanted to be. It may not work for everyone, but I think it's what's most sustainable at the moment.
Yeah.
Yeah, beautifully said.
Okay, The Age of Pleasure is the album from Janelle Monáe. And let's keep the party raging with the new Keaton Henson album. It's actually called House Party. This is the opening cut, I'm Not There. It's perfect. I threw a party that I didn't attend.
Nothing says House Party more than dissociation. This is Henson's first full-length studio album since 2020's Monuments, an album that was written during the last months of his father's life, and it differs very widely from what listeners may come to expect from Henson. It's a lighter, bouncier, pop-esque album written from the perspective of an alternate version of Henson, someone who has, and I'm going to paraphrase this, hollowed himself out over the course of a long career, but can only express his feelings of emptiness and loneliness through performative pop songs. So I think the most interesting idea on this album is the idea of performance, because while Henson singing the identity crisis of this fictitious narrator, he's kind of working through some of his own thought processes regarding his motivations as a musician. It's kind of like an Uncanny Valley sort of album, where the intention develops beyond control and just transforms into something unexpected. And there are a lot of interesting musical beats throughout the album that kind of highlight that.
Yeah, the idea of making a pop record about being a depressed performer is an interesting one. Like, only being able to speak the pop language after years of performity, even as you become like increasingly self-aware, is fascinating. As a result, like with this record, you're left with like dueling impulses. The bliss of being awash in some of these melodies and like the creeping tension under the surface. It's funny because there's a moment in the terrible new HBO show, The Idol, where The Weeknd's character is basically like, pop is powerful because you can say anything and get people to sing along if it's catchy. And I guess the principle is sort of in practice here. It's how you get a song like Holiday with lyrics like, I must be sick in the head.
I'm being myself. I need reasons to sleep, baby. I'm in all kinds of hell.
It's interesting to have all of that at play in the record and sort of try to hold those two things in your mind at once.
I was just going to say that I feel like I've said this on the show before, my sort of reverence for pop music that wears a happy mask, but then when you listen a little closer, it's like the most depressing sentiment you've ever heard. Like, I really love that yeah. moment on Envy where he sings, you know, who wouldn't want to be like me? And there's just such a sigh. It's like the way he delivers it, it's such a sigh. And you're like, oh, brother.
I'm
What's interesting to me about this record is that this record is not Keaton Henson, the rock star who found his way into the bright lights and the bustle of life, you know, but this is Keaton Henson, the artist who's just trying, right? You know, he even says on the song Parking Lot, I'm on the way to healing. Mm. And to me, the most interesting line on the whole record is in the song Hooray. When he says, I'm not happy, but I want to feel what it's like to be. And that's an interesting line to me because maybe he's not saying, I want to feel what it's like to be happy. Maybe he's saying he just wants to feel what it's like to be.
To exist.
To exist. You know, or as Joseph Campbell said, that the real point or meaning to life is simply to feel the rapture of existing, right? And he just wants to feel the joy of being comfortable in his own skin. All right, the party album of the summer.
Maybe shouldn't have ended on that one.
All right, it's called House Party from Keaton Henson. As I said at the top of the show, it is a super packed release week. So many more great albums out today that we can't get to. You'll find a complete list of those in the description of this episode in the podcast feed. But before we go, let's just take a minute to mention some of our personal favorites out today. Hazel, we'll start with you.
Yeah, I really want to shout out the album Girl with Fish by the band Feeble Little Horse. Incredible band name. They are a Pittsburgh quartet. They are a rock group. This is their sophomore album, and they just make the best sort of jangly, weird, creepy little songs. And yeah, I just think this album is great.
You had me at jangly, weird, and creepy.
Yeah.
Letitia.
So my lightning round pick on this beautiful Friday is Heaven Hunters, the debut album from Emil Mosseri. Many will know him from his composing work on film and TV, notable highlights being The Last Black Man in San Francisco and Minari, the latter of which earned him an Oscar nominee. I'm really excited about this release because it highlights Mosseri's strengths as an intuitive, emotion-driven composer and combines them with these rougher indie rock sentiments. And I'm just super excited to see how his career is going to transform from here.
Sheldon.
Yeah, my pick is Squid O Monolith. Brighton post-punk band returns on the heels of their massive breakthrough debut, Bright Green Field, with an album that is more experimental, more epic, It's weirder. It's better. It's bigger. I can't endorse this record enough. I love it.
Okay, I'm going to go with the new Youth Lagoon album. It's called Heaven is a Junkyard. This is Trevor Powers. Back in 2016, he said he was done with Youth Lagoon. The band was over. He has since been through some really harrowing health problems. He's come out on the other side and come to realize, you know, that the Youth Lagoon identity was not the thing that was holding him back in life, that it was all the demons within himself that he needed to deal with. So he resurrected Youth Lagoon and has made what I think is his best album. It is certainly his most intimate, his most honest, his most real, and I think his most beautiful. I was so excited to see that he was back as Youth Lagoon. So glad to have this album. Again, it's called Heaven is a Junkyard. And that'll do it for this week's New Music Friday. My thanks to Hazel Sills, Letitia Harris, Sheldon Pierce. Thanks so much, everyone.
Thank you.
Thanks, Robin.
All right, don't forget you can see a complete list of everything that we talked about and played on the show in the episode description in your podcast feed. We've also got a list there of other notable releases out today that we didn't get a chance to mention. You can hear full versions of the songs along with a whole bunch of new singles that dropped this week in our expanded New Music Friday playlists. Just search for NPR in Apple Music or Spotify. And be sure to sign up for our weekly newsletter to keep up with the latest from NPR Music. You'll find it at npr.org/musicnewsletter. And for NPR Music, I'm Robin Hilton. I hope you have a great weekend. Be well, and seriously, treat yourself to lots of music.
This message comes from NPR sponsor, the Capital One Venture X Card. Earn unlimited 2X miles on everything you buy. Plus, get access to a $300 annual credit for bookings through Capital One Travel. What's in your wallet? Terms apply. Details at CapitalOne.com.
This message comes from NPR sponsor, Mint Mobile. From the gas pump to the grocery store, inflation is everywhere. So Mint Mobile is offering premium wireless starting at just $15 a month. To get your new phone plan for just $15, go to mintmobile.com/switch.
Last year, over 20,000 people joined the Body Electric study to change their sedentary, screen-filled lives. And guess what?
We saw amazing effects.
Now you can try NPR's Body Electric Challenge yourself. Listen to updated and new episodes wherever you get your podcasts.